Hello and welcome to the Tantra for Gay Men podcast, hosted by Jason and Ingo Tantra. Here we're exploring spirituality and personal growth through the practice of Tantra, the body, energy and sex. Hello there, I'm Jason Tantra and welcome to episode 8 of the Tantra for Gay Men podcast, hosted by my beautiful husband Ingo and me, Jason Tantra. In this episode, we are exploring the topic of how your sex mirrors your life. So how does your sex, what happens in your sex, mirror what's happening in your day-to-day life? Fascinating topic. Listen all the way to the end because we've got some really great summaries of some tips about how to improve your life through your sex. Who wouldn't want to know that? And also at the end of the podcast, we talk about the opportunity of studying Tantra with Ingo and I. Look on the ashram. We're going to talk about the ashram, community.tantraforgaymen.com. So lots of rich stuff, lots of rich content. Enjoy, and I'll see you at the end. Take care. Lovely. Hello, beautiful Ingo.
Hello, Jason.
Hello, my sweetheart. Here we are, would you believe, episode 8. And yes, we did two special editions before. Where are we this time?
We are still in Bali.
We are still in Bali. Last remaining
living
days.
Living the high life.
You say the high life. It's just been thunderous weather, raining, Sodom and Gomorrah.
Yeah, but still beautiful temperatures, beautiful sunshine sometimes as well. And I think we're just, really enjoying it, aren't we?
We had feedback.
Which is?
Stop waffling. Get to the crux of the issue.
Okay, then
so
let's
start. So we're going to do that.
What's the topic?
So today's question is, how is your sex a mirror for your life? So how is sex a mirror for your life? And I just got some initial things I want to say, if that's okay.
Yeah, and I just, before you start, I just wanted to say,
yes,
this is one of our core beliefs in the Tantra that we teach, that sex is a mirror of your life.
You're just stealing exactly what I was going to say.
Ah.
It's my saying.
And that's why we
Say it. So I always say to people, like, when I meet new people, how's your sex? Rather than how are you, how is your sex? Mm-hmm. And I always say to people, if it's happening in your sex, it's happening in your life, and one is the mirror of the other.
Yeah, and also, then if you work on your sex, if you transform your sex, that will transform your life. That's something that we say in Tantra, right?
Can't but help do that.
Yeah.
And for me, they're like parallels. It's like whatever's happening in your sex. And for most people, I don't know, you would say dear listener, but for most people, I don't think most people question the sex that they're having or their relationship with sex. And yet, for a Men Who Loves Men community, everything's about sex. You know, everything that comes out from the media, sexy looking pictures, all about sex this, sex that. But it's like, actually, do we ever really think about what is the purpose of us having sex?
Yeah.
Do we ever think about the types of sex that we're having and whether that works for us?
Yes.
And there's a whole array of different issues. We did some, when we had our podcast breakfast meeting before recording, we did a little bit of research, didn't we, where we looked at the statistics of people that are happy or satisfied with their sex life. And it was less than, it was between the 30 and 40% mark.
The shocking. I found that really, really shocking. Yeah. It was, I think depending on the age group, it was like between 20, of men, between 20 and 38% or something like that, who were satisfied. And I'm like, gosh, because not just are they just taking it for granted that they have to live with unsatisfactory sex. Also, now knowing that, you know, now knowing what I know about Tantra, I know that this has a huge knock-on effect on so many other things in your life.
For me, I would just say here that Tantra was probably, like when I first started Tantra, when I first met you, baby, I would say Tantra transformed my relationship with my sex in a way in my life that hasn't happened in any other greater fundamental way. And I've learned so much.
Absolutely.
And I've had with you some of the most sweetest experiences that stay with me in my heart for forever.
Absolutely.
So it, there's many different places we could go with this conversation. Mm-hmm. Do you want to start somewhere? Do you want to...
You had something you wanted to start with.
Well, we've already covered it. What happens in your sex happens in your life.
Yes, what happens in your sex happens in your life. Mm-hmm. And, well, you know, for me personally, I didn't believe this before I started. I thought, okay, you know, let's do Tantra to have a better sex life. Mm-hmm. And that's going to be like a relatively isolated part in my mm-hmm. life. Mm-hmm. What I didn't expect is that it literally puts so many other things in my life on fire. My spirituality, it reignited that. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, I talked about that a few episodes ago, but also more down to earth. It started with so many things. And if I put a metaphor to it, I would say it switched my life from gray, relatively one-dimensional, mm-hmm. to like full technicolor and extremely varied.
For me, my relationship with sex when I was 18 and a half, I would say my relationship in my late teens and early 20s was awful. Mm-hmm. And I'm coming to sex from a very confused childhood, mm-hmm. where I experienced sexual abuse, emotional abuse, and also death of a parent, and intense bullying. Childhood was not a good oh, wow. news story for me.
Yeah.
And when I was 18 and a half when I came out, which seems like that would be so old nowadays, like people come out, people know about their sexuality so much sooner. For me, we're talking pre-internet. I didn't even know. I mean, Margaret Thatcher did such a good job. I didn't even know gay existed. I honestly thought for such a long time that I was the only person on the planet that was attracted to other men.
Right.
And the more isolated I felt, the bigger a secret it became. When I then, thank God, there was like some youth groups in Bristol. I joined a youth group, which saved me in so many ways. My initial sexual experiences, I didn't really know what it was. I didn't really know what to do or what was the intention. And it was all a bit of a unsatisfactory fumble is how I would call that.
It's like the question, where and how do you learn sex? And
And I would also say at that stage in life, like my late teens into my early 20s, I was massively insecure, massively mm-hmm. unsure of myself. I didn't really know myself, was trying to deal with coming out of a childhood, but also trying to find my identity as a gay. I feel like I've got Catherine Tate's, one of her clips in my head, coming out as a gay man, and finding that identity, finding friends, finding things. It was like it was so much I didn't know. And my sex around that time, I have to say, was hugely adventurous as I made new friends and I moved through my 20s. But in the early days, it was not a good news story. How was it for you?
You know, I do not share this sexually traumatic childhood that you had. But what my conundrum was always is that, you know, I'm a person very much dominated by my analytic mind. Mm-hmm. I've always been super academic, super booky. You know, it's all about processing via the intellect, basically. And by hindsight, but I didn't know this at that time. Mm. I I feel I had sex from my intellect.
Mm-hmm.
So it was an almost intellectual affair. And what I mean by that is, it's very much the opposite to spontaneous or even, dare I say, animalistic.
I would.
You know, this way of sex where you really, you completely let yourself loose, almost like this beautifully unhinged, and your body takes over. And this is something that I first experienced after Tantra, and I realized that before.
Do you not think
I didn't?
The sex that we had in the beginning of our relationship was very much about embodiment. And let me just set the context for our dear listeners.
Yes, but
so we
yeah.
So we started with a long distance relationship between Bristol and Leipzig, and we used to, in the early years, until I got my fear of flying.
Yeah.
It's just an excuse, baby. We used to, on a Friday, every 2 weeks, one of us would fly on a Friday afternoon and fly back Sunday afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
And we used to spend 2 days for the first 5 years locked in a bedroom. I was not willing to share you with anyone. But there
not
was
even
like
your parents. I didn't meet your parents
for a year.
Yes.
There was like the lovemaking wasn't just sexual. But I remember we did lots of massage and lots of touch. And we did like lots of bathing rituals and lots of tantric rituals. And we spent literally almost every weekend for two years. Every other weekend locked in pure. And I feel like as we're on this subject about how is sex a mirror for your life, for us, I would say those early years were about discovering our personal landscapes of who we were in a embodied, in a sexual way that I hadn't had before in my life.
Yes, but I need to add something here for the listener.
Mm-hmm.
Many of you, dear listeners, know that we actually met in a tantra retreat.
We did.
So what you're talking about here, these 2 years of, you know, the first 2 years of our relationship is, these are actually tantric years.
Mm-hmm.
This is both of us having gone through several tantra retreats. And for me, this was like putting into practice what I'd learned there.
Mm.
I had never imagined that sex could be so ritualistic, so completely absorbed. That was completely new for me, and this is exactly what I tried to say. This was the time where, you know, I learned this in the retreats.
Mm-hmm.
You were there. You know that. Mm-hmm. You know how. You know many of those situations. Mm-hmm. But then the time with you was like really putting that into practice and really integrating that into our lives.
But
right?
You also remember the love.
Yeah.
I just
I have never
been so in love with somebody in my whole life. It used to make me ill.
I used to arrive at the airport and then this is like Friday late night, and then we picked up something to eat and I just couldn't wait to be in the bedroom just with you. I didn't
connecting.
Want anything else than you.
And I think that for us, when we talk about the theme of the podcast, like how is sex a mirror for your life, I think that was a mirror for us, not just about who we were in our relationship, but also who we were as individuals.
Yeah.
I feel that we were both going through quite an epic life transformational moment because we were both evolving. Like logically, I wouldn't want to have met you when I met you. It was like 3 months of a messy divorce, previous partner, 6 month gap, 3 months in my new life. If somebody had asked me, did I want a boyfriend or a partner then, I would have been like, no way. And for you, you know, I feel like that time of your life, you as you said, you'd had been incredibly successful in the academic world, but you were deeply dissatisfied with the lot because you couldn't feel anything.
Well, I didn't even know that I wasn't feeling anything. I honestly thought that this, what I now call the analytic realm, the realm of the analytic mind, that was the whole life. Mm. And then through Tantra, something completely different opened up, the realm of sensations and animalistic instincts, impulses, just so many things. For me, that was really, really, really transformative. And so there is this thing in Tantra that I didn't know first, but from a from a tantric point of view, in the theory of Tantra, what you're actually doing when you engage in Tantra is on a very, very simply level, on a very, very simple level, you bring your sexual energy up to levels completely beyond what you're usually used to. And then through many techniques, you circulate that energy in your body instead of letting it just shoot out, whether that's via ejaculation or in other more energetic ways, and you keep it in your body. And what it does, in Tantra, as in yoga, these ideas have been around for centuries, especially in yoga and so on. There is something that's called your energetic body. Your energetic body has different centers. And each center, you could say, regulates one of the big topics in your life. Some of them regulate the way you project yourself onto the world. One regulates your access to spirituality. One regulates, you know, the heart center regulates your ability to love, and so forth. And the point is that once you charge them or supercharge them with sexual energy, they come alive. And all of these new ways of looking at your life from all of these different perspectives just start to pop up. And I think that was what was happening during that time. Was happening for me.
I just want to extend on what you're saying here. Because for me, 19 years of teaching Tantra, I think one of my biggest learnings, people sometimes look at Tantra and they think, oh, it's all about angels, the heavens, and they think spirituality is that. And on one level it is, but you referenced, I think you were talking about the chakras when you talk about
these energetic bodies. Centers. Yeah.
When you look at the map of the chakras, whole other podcast, when you look at the map of the chakras and you relay the ways that you can have sex in each of the different chakras, like I would say one of the dimensions in our relationship has not only been the sex that we've shared together and the way that that has been as a mechanism in our relationship for sharing love, intimacy, connection, beautiful spiritual experiences, beautiful erotic experiences, but also for me, in our 19 years together, my relationship with sex, one of the things I've learned is that there are, if I'm following a chakra map, seven different ways of having sex. Let me just explain some of this a little bit more. So, you know, if we look at the base chakra, you know, that is pure, raw, erotic energy. And one of the things I would say we come across often in our workshops is people's difficulty to accept themselves as animal. Like, I still believe we are partly animal. And sex is probably the most successful way we have to explore, because we've got all these rules, all these societal norms, all these ways we should be behaving, how we behave, how we dress, all these things that control and suffocate the true, raw, animal essence. And I think one of the discoveries in Tantra on my Tantra journey has been, and I think you could echo this as well, to own our raw animal.
Oh, well, I didn't even know that existed.
Yes.
I think, due to that conditioning that you mentioned, you know, conditioned by society, I think, like so many people who come to us, I was scared in the beginning to really go into totally almost unhinged, like animalistic sexual states, because that's something that's usually frowned upon.
Yes,
and things like that. And then,
but let's just stop there a second.
Yeah.
Let's just stay with that, because the question today is, how is your sex a mirror for your life? And we come across many people that are living lives,
yes,
where they feel like they're operating or they're functioning or they're existing, and they're doing jobs because they feel they should. They're doing jobs because they feel they have to put food on the table and pay bills. They are doing jobs because they don't want to let people down. That they, you know, there's a whole range of reasons why people are living certain lifestyles that are making, or they don't feel like they have choices that are not serving their deeper root purpose of the animal that they are. And so there's this huge dissatisfaction. Like, I think one of the reasons people come to Tantra is because they're hugely dissatisfied with their life. And when you ask them then about their sex, they're hugely dissatisfied about their sex. And one of the things I've seen frequently is people have no issues ascending out of their body into higher realms and out there. But where people have the most issues is in owning their raw sexual energy. There's so much shame. There's so much shame to be seen as being a sexual being, to be seen to be able to operate freely in erotic energy. I think Tantra offers many gifts.
Oh, yes.
And this is one gift that it gives you, that it could free you to be liberated in your animal energy, your animal raw erotic energy.
Well, I will never forget some of this is not in the context of us as a couple. This is the same period, and in the context of a Tantra group that we had, a private Tantra group, and we used to do these rituals where everyone went really into their raw sexual energy and had that witnessed by others. And going through that process with a group of friends, to witness them in that, and to be witnessed yourself in that, was like, for me, that was a complete eye opener. Like, the fear of letting myself go was, it was gone afterwards, and that was one of these things that liberated that. But did you want to say something?
Yeah, I want to come back to this point about this raw base sexual energy.
Yeah.
Because I feel one of the things in our relationship, particularly me with you, is being able to name to you my erotic desires that may not involve you.
Mm-hmm.
And where you... And I still, even now, as I talk about it, I'm still slightly perplexed because I don't kind of understand it, and I don't know if I can trust it. I don't know if it's okay. I know you're okay and you're trustworthy, but let me just explain this. It has been excruciatingly painful for me. I mean, I can't begin to tell you, to name to you my erotic desires with other people, and to ask you for the permission to go and do that. And you have only ever met me with unconditional love. Yes, darling, go and do that. Yes, darling, if however you want to do it, you go and do it. And even today, 19 years later, I still feel traces of my own shame around myself as a erotic being in as Jason, as that thing. And it's like residual, but I feel like a lot of the work that we've done with men over the decades, over the time that we've been teaching, is actually enabling men to understand that they could have erotic desires, mm-hmm. that they could name them, and that they could do them. And, you know, we come across many men that arrive at Tantra because they're dissatisfied. And they're dissatisfied because one of the core reasons is they're not able to manifest, they're not able to make happen their core animal erotic desires. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, I am so blessed for you, Ingo, in so many ways. I love you so much in so many ways that you gave me. I mean, you, in some ways you'll be like, well, I didn't need to give you anything. I just said yes. And I didn't need you to give me those things. But what you helped me to do was to be able to trust myself in my own ability to name my erotic desires. And I would say that we, in our 19 years together, have unscrupulously lived a life of every desire, every ambition, every want that we've ever wanted anything. We've done it all. You know, I'm looking back 19 years. There's nothing here that I am left wanting that I haven't named to you as a desire. Thank you, and I love you.
Thank you, and
I don't know if
I
you
love
get.
You,
do you know how much of a gift that's been?
I know, and I would almost. I know, and I appreciate that what you are saying, and at the same time, I would also, again, point to Tantra for that, because I share this. This fierce desire for liberation in sex and elsewhere. And Tantra showed me this. Tantra showed me what is possible in sex, and I was like, wow, yes, of course, of course. How could I ever done all of this in a different way? So if we hadn't met in Tantra and done Tantra together, things may have panned out differently. So for me, after I met you, it was absolutely clear, and without any jealousy, without anything, that it's almost this thing like, you know, let's prepare the stage for both of us being able to experience any sexual desire that we have, and to experience it all. And like for you, for me, from the beginning, there are some desires that are with you, some desires that are in a kind of couple context, some are in a group context, some are with people that I don't know very well, some are with friends, some are without you, some are only in a ritualistic, tantric, whatever contexts. And these are all, talking about technicolor, this is technicolor. These are all different colors on this kind of sexual spectrum. And I just love the liberty that comes with this, with being tantric. And I think this was unlocked by, in tantric terms, unlocking the first chakra, unlocking this center, this energetic center within us that says, I can be everything in sex, from the animal to anything
to the
else,
guru.
To the guru.
Yes.
And once you liberate that chakra, it just opens up into its whole spectrum.
But I just want to say here, I feel,
yeah,
again, coming back to the topic of how is sex a mirror for your life, when we both met, we had lived lives, and I'll probably talk more for me than you, but we had been deeply controlled either by people. So, you know, as I talked about, you know, my childhood experiences and trauma, And I lived a relationship before you for 10 years where I tried to, oh my God, it was such a disaster. I tried to live as society wanted me to live. Inga, I had, would you believe, a terraced house on the outskirts of Bristol in a housing estate.
I know that
I had
place.
A green lawn that we used to mow, and I used to look out every Sunday and I'd see all this conformity, this what I call Middle England.
It's what I call hardcore suburbia. This is just, it's just horrendous.
And yeah. I was like, kill me now. Yeah. Kill me now. Get it over with. I was like, and I was only in my like early 30s at this point. And I was like, oh my God, I may as well take a gun and just end it all. And I think, you know, reasons for why my previous relationship started to really fall apart, there were many reasons, but one of them is that there was something waking up in me that wasn't willing to live a mediocrity anymore, wasn't willing to live this bland. It was like, if I don't be myself, I'm going to burst. And I think, again, one of the things I celebrate in our marriage is that actually our vows to each other in our wedding are actually slightly different. And one of them has been that we view life as an adventure. So, you know, this time of talking, we're so blessed to be able to travel around the world. Mm-hmm. You know, we're able to live a lifestyle where we both feel alive. And like, you know, we were only talking last week that you've got this new fantasy or new part of you that wants to be explored. And my first question is, what money do you need? How do we work together and change our arrangements to make that happen?
Yes.
And I think that we are so blessed in our marriage together around, it's always about enabling the other person to be everything that they desire. I think that's been probably one of the biggest gifts we've given each other.
Yes. And again, I think it has to do with, you know, what's coming up for me when I hear this is, I think, yeah, I remember when you went through this tantra training, basically that was your move out of suburbia into an adventurous life, like literally and also metaphorically, and into an adventurous, unconventional kind of life. That, you know, how many 17 years later leads to what we are doing now. For me, it was slightly similar, but almost on a different chakra. So for me, you know, dear listeners, if you're not familiar with the chakra system, there is this solar plexus chakra, and that's connected to the question of who are you, what's your identity, and how do you project yourself out into the world. And I remember many meditations and rituals in the beginning when we went through tantra, where that chakra was like it almost exploded with sensation and with almost in a psychedelic way. And what was happening was that I realized, and this is not an intellectual realization, this is like directly, I realized that the person that I had been before, that intellectual Ingo, is not all of who I am. It's actually maybe only 10% of who I am. And there are all these other 90%, you know, these other 90% that I had absolutely no clue of. And that started to unravel, and that's, I realized, like you possibly, that I had lived a very a kind of limited life. It didn't look limited because my job was very, very, you know, fancy and interesting and all of that. But I realized that in my total career, my academic career before that, it was only speaking to that part of me. There were so many other parts that it didn't speak to, and I hadn't even got a clue. And this then, this realization then opened all of that process over years that finally led me to being a tantra teacher.
And I think one of the things you're pointing to here is, I think part of the tantra journey is about realizing that you have a body, or that you're
realizing
that you're inhabiting a body, and that it has different sensations in different parts of it. Typically, men who love men just focus on genitals and sensations there. But, like, you know, one of the tantric practices is that your whole body is a genital.
Yes, but I would add that it doesn't just have different sensations. Mm. It's actually that these different sensations, they unlock a deeper kind of wisdom in you.
Yes, and?
And they all these sensations, they ask the deep questions, and they then unlock what is needed to answer these questions inside you.
And from a spiritual perspective, mm-hmm. when we talk about awareness and consciousness, like those for me are just the most overused terms ever. For me, the awareness, there's an awareness to learn in the body to make friends with every sensation mm-hmm. that your body can muster. An awareness is paying attention to those sensations and allowing yourself to experience those in the broadest, multicolored way that you possibly can. That even after, you know, inhabiting your body after 50 years, that there's still possibility to discover more. Because again, in Tantra, the ability to use the body to create different experiences. So earlier we were talking about chakras and we only dealt with the first one. But for example, you know, and again, I remember this with mm-hmm. you around how we make love, you know, and I just remember my heart breaking in lovemaking. And just, and it would last a whole weekend. It would last a year. It would just go on. And it was like, it became to a point that lovemaking became part of our life. So when we talk about sex, you know, how is sex a mirror for your life? One of the things I would offer here is mm-hmm. actually our lovemaking became our everyday life. You know, when we're together doing our chores or, you know, schlepping about somewhere, I get waves of love over my body where I just feel totally in love with you. Not all the time.
Teasing.
But I feel those waves of love now, 19 years later. And I would say the seed of those came from that lovemaking.
Those were magical, magical times. Mm. And I would agree. One thing I would say is that... you mentioned these sensations in this lovemaking and it was so, so beautiful and it was so raw and animalistic. Mm. And you just said, and I liked what you just said when you said fully experience the full spectrum of these sensations because I very soon realized that it's not just about enjoying the raw animalistic sensation or enjoying the raw sex of that. Mm. These sensations are much, much more. And that's what is tantric for me. They point to something that you really are. Mm. Mm. For me, they pointed to this. They were screaming, Ingo, you are this animal too. Mm. Mm. And this animal is something, this animal is a force inside you that is incredibly intelligent, incredibly wise, in a very different way than what you're used to. Mm. And it actually can teach you something about yourself and about life. And so that's why I always say, you know, when we do Tantra, it's seemingly go into sensations, but actually what the exercise is really about, go into everything that this sensation can really tell you about yourself and about your life. And this animal taught me, this animal taught me so many things about how to live my life. It's really, this is where this link is, you know. If it happens in your sex, it happens in your life because there's this wisdom in there that translates. And this, for me, this happened through Tantra.
So for me, what you're saying, what I hear you saying, or what comes up for me as you're speaking is actually this sex is a spiritual experience without needing to put the mental context of, you know, putting on your Enya CD, lighting an incense stick and candle. the spiritual experience is in the animalistic nature of yourself. Hang on. And there's something about being able to meet yourself truthfully. So being able to meet your animal self without shame, without without barriers, that in itself is massively difficult for many people. Yeah. And I don't know that we've done enough in this podcast to maybe talk about shame. We'll definitely do that in a later podcast. But the bit that I'm pointing to is people misunderstand what spirituality is about. Mm-hmm. They think spirituality is about the ascension of your sexual energy up through these chakras to a ascended experience. And I partially agree with that, but disagree with that in this moment, because I think the spirituality is owning your animalistic nature in truth, and that you can allow yourself to inhabit that part of you, and that that is the truth. That is one level of spirituality.
Completely agree this with this. It's I would just add to experience it fully and to tap into the wisdom of it.
Yes.
Tap into the intelligence of it. And you don't even have to understand what it is. You actually do the practice.
And
you
how
go into it.
Yes.
And then a few hours later, you will stand up and all of a sudden it's like, oh, these are my desires of
and,
that part.
You and know? How this translates into your life, going back to the theme.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The more that you are able to be yourself in your sex, mm-hmm. it can't but help happen that you are more like that in your day-to-day life, in that you are more you. You are less worried about what other people think. You are less worried about the rules and structures, that you can be more you. Tantra, for me, is a path of freedom and liberation. And one of the path of freedoms and liberations is being able to be your true nature, your true self, without any mental thoughts or blocks or constructs or things in the way of that, being your raw self. And your sex is the fucking best way to do that. It's the best spiritual practice.
This animalistic part is it's actually only one aspect of tantric sex, right?
Mm, completely.
If you see it through the chakra system, it's only one way to do sex out of eight. And each of these types of sex can tap into a different source of wisdom into yourself. Mm. So this is the wisdom coming through the animalistic practice, so to speak, is a very, very specific wisdom, but it directly influences your life, because you see immediately what these parts of you are actually desiring, and have you really listened to them?
And actually, for me, there's nothing to gain in this practice, but it's all about letting go. Letting go of the idea of who you think you are, letting go of the ideas and constructs. Like, there's so much in our community of having to look the right way, have the right body, have the right job, the right clothes, the right apartment, the right lifestyle. And it's all a biggest load of wank, okay? And with a capital W, the biggest load of wank, because the truth in your body, the truth in your raw sexual energy, it's like when you're there in your raw sexual energy, that is a beyond mind state. It's a beyond mind state. So all of those things that you're thinking and holding you back and thinking you've got to do, they're just no longer relevant.
Yeah, you're saying there's nothing to gain, right? Yeah, indeed, there's nothing to gain, because more I do this, I feel less I fit into the rules and all of that. And more I have this impetus for inner freedom. And once you unlock that, things don't necessarily become simpler or something, because it is going to ask the difficult questions in your life. are you really doing what you want to do? Do you, are your relationships what you would like to them to be? Is your sex life what you would like it to be? Your job, your family? And it's like hardcore psychotherapy on steroids in a way, isn't it, sometimes?
So we're coming towards the end of today's talking go. And the question was at the beginning, how is sex a mirror for your life? And I feel this is the first podcast where we've actually answered the question directly.
Yes.
In 45 minutes. Or this has been our best attempt to it. Listen, before we talk about the next bits, I just wondered, any closing statements from you?
My closing statement would be... before Tantra, I never knew how directly sex actually mirrors your life. That means I didn't know how effective it is to, when you work on your, when you want to transform your life, work on your sex, it's gonna have this direct effect. That I didn't know. So since then, I'm like, you know, people talking about Tantra is a transformative path and all of that. Yes, it is a transformative path because it transforms your sexual practice and via that directly asks the right questions for your life to the core.
For me, my closing statement would be to encourage our dear listeners, as you coined it. You may need to think about that one. But for me, it's around wake up. Wake up, smell the roses. Do not do life on autopilot.
Yes.
Wake up and use your sex. Have as much sex as you can, safely, with the care and all the right good stuff, but have as much sex as you can. Use sex as a way to learn about you. Really, the next time you engage in your sexual energy, really pay attention to what is happening for you, where your mind is, where you are in your body. There is so much, and you may uncover stuff that's not so comfortable, but pay attention, wake up. Like, look at what's going on and look in your sex and, you know, liberate yourself, free yourself.
Look in your sex and /or throw a few very simple tantric techniques into your sex. They do that for you.
So I think those would be my summary points. And we've got a way, Ingo, that we can help people now. Because by the time this goes out, I think it's going to go out end of May, early June. We are going to be talking about the ashram.
Oh, yes.
And the ashram we've alluded to in previous podcasts, but it is our online, and basically it's supporting the podcast. So for those of you listening, it's like, oh, well, how do I get to work with you, Jason and Ingo? How can I learn more? Actually, I've got these problems coming up. I need to work on these. The ashram. So the ashram, I don't know if you want to describe it or want me to carry on.
Carry on.
So for me, the ashram is a modern day temple of Tantra for gay men's Tantra as taught by Jason and Ingo.
And it's online.
And it's online. So it's via Zoom. We have our platform called the Ashram. And in there are... So basically, Ingo and I curate a program. Oh. So the first program is all about orgasm.
And it's live sessions. It's live practice sessions. It's live coaching sessions. These
and
kinds of things.
The first program... We break them up into semesters and terms. So the first term, I think, starts 1st of July and goes on to the middle of October. And each week there are new lectures, there are new techniques and practices. We also have our team of ashram facilitators that are our graduates from our teacher training and diploma program. There's about eight of them, amazingly beautiful. They're going to be doing live classes every week. There's like an opportunity for a live class. We're aiming it in time zones of the USA, UK and Europe. And there is basically, you can get to work with Ingo and I through spiritual inquiry, through practice review sessions.
We do practice review sessions where you're going to get personalized attention. So it's based from us to guide your process.
So it's a way to integrate Tantra into your life, into practicing everything that we're talking about here, and a way to continue working with beautiful Ingo and I.
And I think it's very good. And I think it's very good value as well, because it's just $42 per month.
$42 per month, yeah. And once one semester finishes, so Orgasm is the first one.
Then the next semester starts with a different topic.
We don't know what that is yet.
And we are not revealing that.
Yeah. But in the Orgasm, like, it's like, who wouldn't want to learn how to do multiple orgasms? And we've invited one of our graduates from our training who, again, has carved out his own career, Will Tantra. He's going to come and do a masterclass, a Zoom masterclass, all about multiple orgasms.
And we've got our amazing 8 facilitators. And last but not least, you and me, who are guiding, curating, and actually, if you decide to join us, you will get personalized attention from us to interact with us.
community.tantraforgaymen.com. Ingo, it's been lovely to share this with you. I never know where these podcasts are going to go.
That's just so spontaneous.
I just didn't know where we were going today, but it felt right. Listen, you've been beautiful. I've been beautiful. And we look forward to seeing
you. Love you very much, my darling.
Oh, bless you. Love you too.
Dear listeners, love you very much too.
See you on the next podcast. Okay, lots of love. Take care. Hello there. So that brings the podcast to a close. Listen, I really hope you've enjoyed everything we've shared with you today. I know Ingo and I have loved offering this to you. If you're interested to join the ashram, you can see that at the ashram, community.tantraforgaymen.com. That's community.tantraforgaymen.com. If you want to see more about our work, different retreats that we have, you can do that at our website, tantra4gaymen.com. See you next time in our next episode. And can't wait to share that with you. Take care now. Bye-bye.